In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, Blackstone and Sierra, Blackstone and Herndon, right in between those two streets. Come on down here. It's a beautiful Saturday. Like I said, we're having amazing weather this week. There was quite a change. Last week was super hot, cooled down a little bit during the week. But, yeah, spring is definitely in the air. Come on down here to First String Sports. I call it the place to be, the Letterman's Jacket Room. I'm looking up Buchanan, Clovis North, Kingsburg, San Joaquin, Memorial. Come down here and get your Letterman's jacket. They do a great job of fitting everybody, personalizing your jacket however you want. I see people coming in already to the store buying baseball stuff, looking for baseball tees and baseball pants and anything baseball related. Definitely come on down here to First String Sports. They have been wonderful sponsors, a wonderful host here on the Central Valley Sports Report since I started the show back in August. We're just keep rolling here, and we are now right in the heart of basketball playoffs. We're going to be talking a lot about basketball for the next 2 hours here on 1430 ESPN. So coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe is producing the show. He does a wonderful job, writes for the Clovis Roundup, works for the Bark Board. He hits the pavement hard. So I always enjoy talking with Gabe about Central Section basketball, a little bit of baseball as well. At the bottom of the hour, around 10:35, Bullard boys basketball coach Tim Adamson is coming to the house. They had a huge win this week. They are in the Division I playoffs. They're actually the defending Division I boys basketball Central Section champions. They went and went down to Bakersfield and beat the number 2 seeded Centennial Hawks 75-71. They were the 7 seed. Remember, Division I has only 8 schools compared to the Open that has 4, and all the other divisions have 16. So, yeah, huge win on the road, and they're going to be taking on Central, a rematch of last year's Division I finals. We're actually going to be having that game on 1430 ESPN. Me and Jose Gonzalez is going to be calling that game Tuesday. I believe it's at 6 o'clock, so make sure you guys tune in there. So, yeah, so Bullard's taking on Central in the semifinals of Division I. So, yeah, talk with Coach Tim Amundsen about that. At 11 o'clock, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Well, I got two. Buchanan Girls Soccer. They're having a phenomenal season. They are 16-2-2. They are the number 1 seed in Division I, the number 1 seed overall. So I have a couple of the top girls on the team, Ciara Wilson and Logan Knighty. They're coming in to First String Sports. Their game is their next playoff game is against Aurora Grande at home at Tuesday at 3 o'clock. So the girls are coming in. They're defending state champs. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun getting to know them and talking about soccer. At the bottom of hour number 2, Scott Bemis. You guys know Scott, right? KC24, CBS 47, sports anchor. I've gotten to know Scott over the last 5 or 6 years. He's an excellent reporter. He's a great guy. He's very knowledgeable. He's a big golf guy. So I definitely want to talk about Clovis East grad Bryson DeChambeau. Talk about high school basketball as well. What's worked and what hasn't worked regarding the playoff system. Talk a little bit maybe about Derek Carr and Davante Adams, a possible reuniting there with the Raiders. I know Scott is definitely has a key, a lot of inside information about that situation. And then maybe a little bit about Jalen Green, Houston Rockets, San Joaquin Memorial, played there for the first 3 years before transferring, and just kind of check in and see how Jalen's doing for the Houston Rockets. I definitely want to go over basketball playoffs and where we're at. We're at the semifinals. So boys are going to be playing Tuesday in the semifinals, and then all the championship games are going to be Thursday, except for the Open. So the Open divisions games are happening today. So 1430 ESPN, we are broadcasting the boys' game, and it's going to be a hot one. It's going to be huge. San Joaquin Memorial is the 4 seed in the Open, and they'll be taking on Clovis West, who's now jumped up to number 8 in the state by Cal High Sports. They are, they're the top team, you know, for a reason. They only have one loss on the season. They're 28-1. San Joaquin Memorial's 22-6. That place is going to be rocking. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you got to buy them online. There's not going to be any tickets at the door. We anticipate an absolute raucous house tonight. So if you do have your tickets, I would suggest get there early. The girls are playing at 3:30. Clovis West girls, I should say. They're taking on Napomo at 3:30, followed by the boys at 6. I assume that they will get started as close to 6 as possible. And Gabe and I are going to be breaking that game down, the boys' game. That's going to be an instant classic, I think. On the other side, Clovis North boys are traveling to St. Joe's. St. Joe's is the 2 seed. They're 26-2. So, those are going to be great games. You know, there's a little bit of controversy because Clovis North and San Joaquin Memorial kind of flip-flop the whole year. We thought that Memorial was going to be 3 and Clovis North was going to be the 4, but they flip-flop at the last moment. I could see why. There's a few reasons, but one is that, hey, probably don't want a Clovis West and Clovis North 4th matchup, you know, in the first round. So anyway, you got to win 2 games to win the Open. So that's going to be a lot of fun to call. In Division One, Bakersfield Christian is going to be taking on Clovis East. So the Adrian Wiggins-led Timberwolves are going to be traveling to Bakersfield on Tuesday. And then I mentioned the Central and Bullard. Central is the 3 seed and Bullard is the 7 seed. In Division Two, Mount Whitney, the number one, is taking on Mission Prep, the 13. And Frontier is taking on Sanger. Frontier is the 14th seed, and Sanger is the 7th seed. So I wanted to mention this. I only got a few minutes before we go to break, but I did a little research. So I counted that in the not counting the Open Division and Division One, because they only have 4 schools and 8 schools respectively, there are 9 schools that are seeded 12 or lower, so 12, 13, 14, I think there might be a 15 seed, that are in the semifinals, all right? So again, 9 schools, 12 seeds or lower have made it to the semifinals. So yeah, it's been definitely an interesting year as far as seedings go and where everybody is placed. So yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where we're at. In Division 3, Golden Valley is taking on El Diamante. That is a 1 versus a 13. Diamante is a 13. Roosevelt, the 14th seed, is playing Atascadero, so that was Division 3. In Division 4, Rosemont, number 1, is taking on the 4 seed, Menachie, so that played out as expected. And Garces, the 14th seed, is taking on Sierra. In Division 5, number 1, Strathmore, again, against a 13 seed, Kennedy. And CVC, Central Valley Christian, the 6th seed, is taking on Liberty Madera Ranchos, who beat Fresno Christian and the number 2 seed Highland on the road. So congrats to them. For the girls, we talked about the Open Division. In the other game besides the Napomo and Clovis West, it's Bakersfield against St. Joe's. St. Joe's is 21-3 and Bakersfield is 24-2. In Division 1, it's a game that I am looking forward to on Wednesday. Buchanan girls, the number 1 seed against San Joaquin Memorial, the 4 seed. That is a matchup that a lot of people are going to have eyes on. Really looking forward to that. I'm going to be checking that one out for sure. And Clovis, congrats to the Cougars. They are the 6 seed and taking on Central, the number 2. In Division 2, Sierra is taking on Sierra Pacific. And Roosevelt is taking on Porterville in... Let's skip here to Division 4. On Wednesday, Corcoran is taking on Coalinga, and Madera, the 14th seed, is taking on East Bakersfield. In Division 5, number 1, Highlands, taking on Washington Union, and Emmanuel, the 14th seed, I'm a proud grad of Emmanuel, is taking on South. So there's a little breakdown for you. Well, at least I talked about what schools have made it to the semifinals. Okay, coming up, though, we're going to be breaking this stuff down a little bit more with my guy, Gabe Camarillo. And, Gabe, what are we going to be talking about? Heck yeah, I'll be talking about basketball, 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 and throwing a little bit of baseball there. Looking forward to talking with Gabe, breaking down stuff a little bit more here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I like the way to dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and
Moses Malone. I like slam dunks, taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Talking about basketball. A little bit about baseball. Gabe and I, we're going to be getting into that. So, Gabe Camarillo. Gabe, I quickly ran through some of the semifinal matchups. Our Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday games of next week. And then tonight, obviously, we have our, well, this afternoon, 3:30, we have our girls' games. Followed by our boys' games at Clovis West. You know, reading through some of those, there's definitely a lot of action, a lot of upsets. I mentioned that there's 9 schools that are seeded 12 or lower that have made it to the semifinals. So let's talk first about our matchups at Clovis West. So the girls are taking on Napomo, and you know, I texted Coach Craig Campbell, and he's like, hey, Napomo's good, man. Just don't dismiss them right away. Obviously, Clovis West is ranked high in the state. I believe they're 11th right now. You know, don't dismiss them. They're in the open for a reason. And then on the boys' side, we got that hot matchup between San Joaquin Memorial and the Golden Eagles. Matchup that, you know, could very well be, a matchup that could have been in the open division championship. So, out of those two games, what are you expecting, and what stands out to you?
Well, Coach Campbell's absolutely right. You're going to have a Napomo team that's looking for the upset. But I do think that Clovis West, what they've shown all year, is that despite their lack of seniors that they had last season, they have the junior, Atoya Montgomery, to fill in the role of leader just off the court and on the court as well. So I'm expecting a big game from Atoya Montgomery. Athena Tomlinson's another player to watch for Clovis West. They all play so well together. It's that system, Paul. You know, they don't really lose very often because it's that system that consistently wins in the Central Section. Today they start their quest for a 10th consecutive Central Section title. So that's something to watch, a storyline in itself right there. And then we're talking about the boys, Clovis West and San Joaquin Memorial. I'm actually kind of glad that the rankings went that way, because I wanted to see these two teams play regardless. Joseph Hunter, the best player in the Central Section, going head-to-head against the best team in the Central Section, Clovis West. It doesn't get better than that, Paul. I really think that Joseph Hunter is going to have a great game, but I'm interested to see. He missed a couple games because of COVID. Is his wind going to be all the way back? You know, maybe you have some rust because you were off the court so long. I don't know how COVID affects different people, but it's fair to assume or wonder, is Joseph Hunter going to be 100%? And if he isn't, that's a big thing for San Joaquin Memorial to have to make up for. But I do think they're a better team than what they were in December when they first played Clovis West, because Mike Davis Jr. has looked really good in the last half of the league play, and so has Amari Caraway. The big thing for San Joaquin Memorial has to have a game well played together as a unit. It can't just be Joseph Hunter. It has to be Mike Davis, Amari Caraway, and Joseph Hunter playing well together in order to pull off the upset.
Well, I actually had a conversation yesterday with Coach Waz of San Joaquin Memorial, and he says, Joseph, 100%. He's good to go. He's ready to go. I asked him, well, what are the keys to the game? And he said, well, those three obviously have to play really well that you mentioned. But the role players have to step up. And one of the reasons why we say that is because, first of all, Clovis West, they don't lose in their home gym, right? They're extremely tough in that home environment that they've created there. It's going to be raucous. The student section is going to be pretty lit. I expect, you know, fans from both sides are really going to be into the game, and obviously we're going to be there covering. But, you know, Clovis West, they rotate players in and out. Coach Wahlberg, you know, I'll probably make a note of it during the game, but I've seen him sub with a minute into the game. He'll sub 3 guys, and, you know, I know he has inbounds plays and different things like that he needs the right personnel in there. But, yeah, I just think for San Joaquin Memorial, obviously you need Joseph Hunter to have between 30 and 40 points, but the role players have to step up. But I'm really looking forward to the matchup between Mike Davis Jr., who admittedly didn't have a very good game in their first matchup between Clovis West, against Tyrish Parrish Tillman. That's going to be huge. A couple 6'6", 6'7" kids banging it down low. You know, I mentioned that the game where they played in the Nike Invitational at Clovis West that the Golden Eagles won 68-62. But yeah, Coach Roz expects Mike Davis, and he's playing really well right now. And when Joseph Hunter missed those games, Davis stepped up and he had some monster games, like I think a 38-point game and, you know, like a 15-rebound game. So, yeah, that's kind of what I expect. But for Memorial, the key to them is the role players got to step up. And for Clovis Wedge, they just got to keep doing their thing. Isaac Martinez is a very capable scorer. He's really clutch down the stretch. And Jackson Young is a pretty good third option, so to speak, as far as scoring-wise. But, yeah, that's going to be definitely a game. Gabe, flipping it, Clovis North at St. Joe's. I mentioned a tiny bit, and we even had an emergency Twitter talk. What do you call it? Twitter Spaces talk when the rankings came out. Clovis West, they hung with them, I believe, Gabe, for the first three quarters when they played them the first time and looked really strong, but St. Joe's ended up coming up with the victory there. So what are you seeing in that game?
Yeah, that first game was at the Mission Prep Christmas Tournament. Clovis North, how they attacked St. Joseph was how they attacked a lot of their opponents, just with pressure defense, forcing half-court turnovers, getting easy layups in transition, and that's how they're going to have to beat St. Joseph in order to win this one, because when you have three guards that are quick, agile, and scorers like Nico Jones, Jordan Espinoza, and, of course, the super sophomore, Connor Amundson, you're going to have to not only find a way to play great defense at the half court and also pressure them the full court, but you're also going to have to find a way to score as well. And what I noticed in that first matchup was Clovis North could not get inside the paint to save their lives, because Tunde Yusufu, the freshman, is the real deal. He blocked five shots against Clovis North and had five dunks. Clovis North doesn't have a player the size of Tunde. Unfortunately, AK Okereke was the closest guy they had, and he already graduated, right? So Clovis North, this is their third year in the open division. Tony Amundson knows what he's doing, but again, they're on the road for the second straight year and facing the defending Central Section champs. Yeah. It's going to be a tall task. If they want to pull off the upset, the Bronx are going to have to shoot it well from the three-point line, because that's kind of where they can kill St. Joseph. And another thing, too, you mentioned how deep Clovis West is. I would say Clovis North is also deep. But St. Joseph, after their big three of Luis Marin, Dre Roman, and, of course, Tunde, their bench is kind of like San Joaquin Memorial's, where it's a little lacking in depth. So if Clovis North can get to St. Joseph's bench, if Tunde's in foul trouble, if any of the stars are in foul trouble for St. Joseph, Clovis North will be in a good position. But once again, home court advantage is definitely on St. Joseph's side. That is a tough place to play.
Yeah, and you know, I remember Cole Anderson's team last year for Clovis West went down there, or I guess went west, I guess we should say, went west to play St. Joe's. And, yeah, they had a couple shots late to pull that one out, but St. Joe's, you know, ended up beating San Joaquin Memorial in that championship game. Okay, so I know you've had some conversations with the Bakersfield Christian head coach. They are taking on Clovis East. A little bit of surprise, right? Camden Thompson for Clovis East, who is on the show as one of our 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. He broke his hand a couple weeks ago. We thought he was done for the year, but he ended up playing in the game against Independence that they won 74-53. So the Timberwolves are going to be traveling down to Bakersfield Christian. And then that other matchup, you know, I got Coach Admonson coming on, and I don't know, about 5, 6, 7 minutes, we're going to be breaking down the game, their game at Central. But what are you seeing in Bakersfield Christian and Clovis East?
Well, Clovis East beat Bakersfield Christian by 15 earlier this season. So I think Garrett Brown, looking at Clovis East, seeing they have Camden Thompson back, he knows it's going to be a challenge, but this time it'll be in his confines of the Bakersfield Christian gym. I think one of the better things to come out of not having championship games at Sound Arena is that it gives the number one seeds real home court advantage, like Clovis West, right? It's hard to win there if you're going to go up against head coach Vance Wahlberg and that small gym. Just like it's going to be hard for any Fresno team, and there's three of them remaining in Division One, by the way, to drive down to Bakersfield and face Garrett Brown in his home gym in the 6-6-1. So I think that's a big factor for Bakersfield Christian, is that they have the home court advantage. And most importantly, it's a two-hour drive from Fresno to Bakersfield. So that's pretty much in itself another big factor for home court advantage. But Clovis East is very talented. They ran away from Independence in the second half. Camden Thompson played really well. I don't want to say Willis Reed-esque, but I wasn't expecting him to play, and he stepped up and scored 16 points to lead the Timberwolves. That is itself, why don't we say it's Camden Thompson-esque? He created his own definition for a player fighting through adversity and injury.
Just tape those fingers up, man. It's playoff time. Let's go, right? Tape those things up. All right, so let's pivot a little bit. Really good job breaking that down, Gabe. Let's pivot a little bit to baseball. We got a few minutes. So last night I went to the Buchanan game. They took on Liberty. Sam Tekoyan looks really strong on the mound. He went four innings, kind of like the week before, then when they swept a doubleheader against West Ranch. So the Bears are, wow, depending on what ranking you look at, one ranking that has them 11th in the nation, another one has them, what, 22nd in the nation. Cal High Sports has them second, 7th in the state. So, yeah, so they swept the doubleheader. They're 3-0 right now. Peyton Borsodi, if that last name sounds familiar, he's a freshman at Buchanan. And, yes, that is Mark Borsodi's son. He hit a bomb. It hit the batting eye in center field to tie the game against West Ranch last week. But, yeah, Buchanan's looking really, really strong. I also want to mention that Murph Gray of Madera South, a Fresno State signee, threw a perfect game at Washington Union on only 80 pitches last week. So, Gabe, baseball is in the air, right, man? This is going to be an exciting season.
First off, about the national rankings, I will take them with as little of a grain of salt as right now, because national rankings this early in the season is literally like throwing darts with a blindfold on. You don't know what you're aiming for, and you're just hoping you'll get it right. But I will say these publications are right in that Buchanan deserves recognition as one of the top teams in the nation, because that's what they were last year, and they're returning a lot of those key players from last year. You mentioned Sam Tocoyan. I was really impressed with how he's gone from reliever to ace on that staff this season, because that's what they needed, right? After losing Christian Williams, after having some of those senior pitchers leave, to have a Sam Tocoyan be able to throw in a big game against Liberty and play well. I was also impressed with Jaden Mandel coming out of the bullpen. I think that might be their, you know, I know college baseball it's called Friday night, but I guess in high school baseball it'll be called Tuesday night, because that's when track series will start this year. But if you have Tocoyan and Mandel throwing in your first game of a series, you're not only saving your bullpen, but you're throwing two of the best pitchers in the section at a team, right? You have Tocoyan going to Ole Miss and Mandel going to Fresno State.
Yeah, I agree that the Buchanan team's really loaded. And I agree, Gabe, you know, preseason rankings are just what they are, preseason rankings. If you go by, like, let's just say college football, if you look at what preseason rankings look like and then the final rankings, it's definitely a lot different, but it's kind of fun to discuss. And I wanted to mention, though, it's just nice to highlight some of these schools and where they're at. And some of these schools, you know, they got a lot of star players out there, but Buchanan is number 7, like I said, by Cal High Sports. Bullard's ranked 17th. They started with an 8-0 win at Tulare Western, a game that Gabe went to. Stockdale's got a really good team. They return a lot of guys. They are ranked 25th in the state. On the bubble is Clovis West. And down in Visalia, Redwood's got a super good team as well. All right, Gabe, good job, my friend. We will talk to you definitely soon. Coming up after the break, here he is. I'm looking at him right now. Bullard head coach Tim Adamson. We're going to be breaking down their big win at Centennial. Looking forward to the game against Central. He's a basketball junkie like I am, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up after the break, Coach Tim Adamson, Bullard High School on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now. Sipping on straight glory, let the vibe slide over me. This beat is a chemical.
Beat is a chemical. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Fading in with a little bit of 21 Pilots. I love it. Anytime you can listen to 21 Pilots, I'm good. All right, so Bullard head coach Tim Adamson coming in. And what I appreciate about you, Tim, a couple things. First of all, coming in, what are you drinking on Starbucks, man? That thing looks super dark. That's going to keep you up for another 38 hours, isn't it?
Iced coffee, black.
No sweetener, nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
All right, and then you actually moved practice. You moved practice to come on my show. I feel honored, right?
You moved something back a little bit. That's how much respect I have for you.
All right, thanks. So you've been around the Central section a long time. The name Adamson is, I mean, it's basketball gold around here. So before you were at Bullard, you've been at Central. You had some phenomenal teams at Clovis East. You're there for 9 years. You're at Hoover. You're assistant coach at Clovis West, Clovis, Fresno Pacific Men, Fresno City Women's. You got 4 Central section titles, the 3 at East, and then last year with Bullard Division I. Finally got over the hump with that, right? That was a really good win.
Yes. Yes.
Right. When I mentioned all those schools, what did something jump out at you? Like, man, I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, kind of looking at the history here you have for me, kind of weird. It doesn't feel like I've been doing it that long.
When did you start? I know you went to Fresno Pacific. We were there at the same time. I got to watch you play right after Fresno Pacific. What were you doing? When did
so
you get
funny,
into coaching?
My plan was to head back to the Bay Area and coach. And then I just kind of got in. And then, you know, Vance was my – Wahlberg was my high school coach in the Bay Area. And then I helped out at Fresno Pacific for a year or two, and then we were going to plan to head back to the Bay Area, and then the housing was so affordable, and we kind of liked it in Fresno. I got hooked in over there with Brandon Bakke at Clovis High for a year, did my student teaching there, and then I knew what my plan was, to jump in with Vance the following year, and I did that and learned a lot from Coach, and then got my first head job at Hoover and took off from there.
What year was the first head job at Hoover?
You're asking me years.
I know. Gosh.
My God. Right around 99, 98. Right
okay.
There.
So you were at Fresno Pacific from 92 to like 94? 95?
I want to say 93 to 95 or 94, 95, 96, right in there.
What do you remember about those days?
Oh, I loved the school, man. I loved it. Loved it. Funny because Fresno Pacific's such a small school. My brother and I were kind of wandering around after we played JC basketball in the Bay Area, and all the Cal State, Hayward, San Francisco State, all the D2s, we were kind of playing pickup ball, trying to get a chance to play there, and they wouldn't even look at us. And playing on the Hoop It Up Tour, I met John Moore, and we beat them, Donnie Johnson, Troy Brown, John Moore, Scott Patterson, some good guys, Fresno Pacific guys.
Yeah.
And he recruited me out of Hoop It Up on a plane flight back from the national tournament in Texas.
Really?
Yeah, and he told me that I was out a couple of years, and he goes, you could still play NAIA.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I thought my
– Yeah, what does that mean, right?
Yeah, what does that mean? The NCAA, you have a certain window.
Yeah.
NAIA, it's a semester thing, so even if you take time off in between, you can still play. I go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I immediately sent him my transcripts. He dialed me in. I moved out. He got me a place to stay, and I went to Fresno City for a year to get eligible, and I played. And then he left for Westmont.
Yep.
And then he offered me to go with him, and I said, no, I'm here, and I'm good. And Jim Sargent took over, a great guy. Either one would have been great to play for. So, but walking in, my brother, I remember our first trip, we came out on a recruitment day with John Moore and walked up to the school. I'm like, we've been at Cal State Hayward. I mean, all these schools are huge.
Yeah.
This little hole in the wall, Fresno Pacific. And we walked in the foyer in the gym. We saw a picture of John Moore, and he looked like Sonny Bono. So we were just kind of cracking up at how small the school was. And then we kind of hung out. But best experience of my life, man. Best. I would not trade that, those 3 years at Fresno Pacific, for anything.
Good. That's great to hear. Yeah. And, I went to a lot of those games, obviously. I was there when you were there. And I want to ask you, too. That basketball at that level is no joke either. I mean, there's some dudes.
Oh,
like, do you think college basketball is college basketball, isn't it?
So top three or four teams in our conference beat two or three D1s every year. I know when I was there, Fresno State wouldn't play us. Since then, they've had some games and this and that, but we played pickup ball with those guys. And again, respect to those guys, but we hung with them fine. I mean, in open gyms. And we had a pretty good team, though. I think we were the first team to go to the national tournament.
Yeah.
So we had a good group for 2 years.
I know. Those are some fun years. Did you play with a kid, Rich Kuminga? Remember Rich Kuminga, biggest seven-footer?
So I practiced with that group the year before.
Yeah,
and then they were seniors, and I was getting eligible. Then they all graduated, and I came in with the next group.
Did you and Ty play at the same time? I know Ty came. You guys played together, right,
same
for 1 year?
Yeah, 2 years.
For the two
Both
years?
Both years, yeah.
Okay. All right, we got to talk some high school, man. We could talk about glory days.
Yeah,
a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
That's a
I
lot of fun.
I didn't know which way we were going to go.
I know. You kind of go where the wind blows sometimes.
Good memories.
All right, so your game against Centennial. All right, I mean, I want to call it an upset. I mean, I've seen you guys play a lot this year. You guys can play with anybody in the Central section, right? You guys go down to Centennial. Was it just a case of the kids executing the game plan? You guys played one of the best games of the year. How did that game go
did
down
you
in
say
your opinion?
Upset or you?
I did not know. Oh. I said some people said. I said
no.
In my mind, it wasn't an upset.
Hey, listen. When the D1 bracket came out, I looked at it and I thought there was five or six teams that could come out of that and win it. And I think it's within 4 to 6 points every game. It's kind of who plays well. And so I wouldn't have been surprised either way because I knew they were good. They're very good, by the way. And I thought. So on film, and I saw we played them in the summer. They kind of whooped up on us, but summer's different, obviously.
Yeah.
And didn't have some guys. They may not have had guys. And then we scrimmaged them, and it was pretty even. We went down to Bakersfield in November, and we scrimmaged them very even. But watching them on film, you're like, yeah, they're good, man. They brought it. I thought they gave us their A game the other night. Like, and we handled it. Like, it was a great game. It's one of the best games I've ever been a part of.
Wow.
It was bad. It was their crowd was rocking. I'm still floating in the game. Like, I'm on adrenaline still from Thursday night. But if you were there, you understand. It was a fight. It was great. I mean, dunks, three-pointers, charges. I mean, very few turnovers, very well-played game, clean. And both teams just had guys making plays, positive plays the whole night.
I was following the best I could on Twitter, and it seemed like I think you guys had maybe a 1 or 3 point lead at the end of the first quarter and just kind of stayed there. It was like, I think they might have got within one. Did they ever take the lead?
We were up two, so we got down five, literally off the jump ball. They missed a shot, offensive rebound, kicked to their shooter, whack three. We inbound the ball, turn it over, dunk. We're down 5-0, the gym shake. And I'm like, and then our guys settled down. I think we went on a 6-0 run to go up 6-5. And then I kind of, they never took the lead again, I don't think, but they tied us several times.
Okay. You got a couple good players, don't you? Luan Watts, Tyrek Harrod. Those guys have been your go-tos all year. I mean, their games are different. Obviously, Tyrek is the point guard, the shooter. Luan Watts, he can extend a little bit, but he's, what, 6'5", 6'6". He's athletic. Yes. He can dunk. He's had some monster dunks that, yes, I've seen as well. What do those two guys bring to the table every day?
He had a few more the other night. special. Both very special. Very good players. They both do a lot of things really well, and they're both hard to guard. And they're our leaders, and they've had a really – I mean, both played very well all year.
Role players are key in any, you know, say role players, right? But you think the guys that could come in at any moment and, you know, take a charge or get down on the ground and pick up a loose ball or hit a three here, you know, sometimes you get bonus threes from guys like, hey, all right, yeah, keep this kid in there, right? How important are role players on your team, and who are some of these dudes?
I've always said, even back to Clovis East, our best teams, that we had success because of our role players. And we try to get those guys down. Everybody's got one or two good players usually, the elite teams. And so to me, the role players are just as important, if not more. Making those plays, like you said, taking the charges, guarding their best player, keeping our guys out of foul trouble, hopefully, you know, lightening the load, hitting the shot when it comes their way. Michael Adamayan played really well the other night, and he had 20, 8 for 10 from the field.
Oh.
But he's been playing well since we started the league. Like, he's been probably 14 a game for us. Very consistent, yeah.
And you need those guys to make deep runs in the
playoffs.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He hits big shots. It's a lot of fun to watch.
So matched up against Central. Obviously, they're from the Central section and the track. What do you – you know, it's a rematch of last year's D1 championship game. What do you expect in that game?
How about,
man,
that game? That was a – that gym was rocking
last year. It was.
Fun game. And Centennial game reminded me of that game a lot in terms of it was like 2 points back and forth all the way. In the Centennial game, early fourth, we immediately pushed it to 11. And then a couple of our guys, Tyrek and Luan, both got in foul trouble, fourth foul. So I had to ride our role players for 4 minutes. And they came back and tied us again, but we held the fort. And then Luan and Tyrek came in and finished the game. And same thing in Central last year. I think it was 4 points back and forth all the way to the end. We actually pushed it to 15 late, and then they made a furious run at the end. And we held on and 1 point win.
You guys had to hit some free throws, some clutch free throws at the end, didn't you, last year?
Yeah, a couple shots, too. Omarion had a big layup late, right when they tied us. So, and then they had to come back, and they missed, and we won. The game was another pretty fun game, too.
So this Tuesday, you expect more of the same. Obviously, they're very talented. You know, they had Clovis West on the ropes. We did a game where they were up 22, right?
They're really good. They're really good. So, I mean, like I said, they can win it. They're really good.
Yeah.
And I think only lost one or two kids off last year's team, so they're all back a year older, a year wiser. But, yeah, they had Wes beat, who's hard to beat. I went to their game 2 weeks ago when North played over there, and they were up 16 at half.
Yeah.
And North made a run and came back and won by four, I think four or five. And so they've had some big leads against, you know, open division teams.
Yeah.
And so they're very good.
Yeah.
Another challenge. We like challenges, though, so another challenge.
You know, you mentioned how last year's Division I championship win was nice. You know, it's just an excellent ball game. And then your three championships at Clovis East. What's the best? And you mentioned, too, that game against Centennial, how you love that, the atmosphere. But is there a game that really stands out to you in your coaching career as, like, one of the best games you've ever been a part of?
There's a couple of games that we lost that were phenomenal, but I don't enjoy them because we lost the Clovis West double overtime game in the Valley Finals a few years ago.
Gosh.
Should go back. That's why I always tell our kids, these games come down to one possession. So my first year, so we've been in the state playoffs 4 straight years, and every loss is by one possession, 1 or 2 points. And then the Valley. So Central, we lost to the Valley Championship game by 2, last possession. West double overtime. Last possession, And then we got blown out by East that one year. We were young, but we made a nice run to get there. Yeah. State playoff game, we lost in overtime by 1 point. And then last year's game, Central, 1 point. And then Centennial the other night was 4 points. These games are like, that's – so we stress all year long about don't take anything for granted. Every possession counts, every loose ball, every turnover, every free throw, and, that mindset.
What impresses you most as a coach? Like, obviously you're preaching these mindsets and late in the game, right? You're dealing with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. But what impresses you most about players? What's your type of players? Like a tough kid, a kid that can get to the rim, coachability, leadership. What's a Tim Amundsen type player?
What's funny is all kids are different. They all come from different family situations and different ethnicities. And so we've got so many different kids. I mean, they all have different skill sets. It's hard for me to even compare players because different time, different era. I think today's generation is definitely different than even 10 years ago in the type of kid we're getting and the technology area on the phone, cell phone, social media. Kids don't play on their own as much. It's just a different animal. And so it's hard to compare.
Is that hard for you? Is that hard for you to just...
So the challenge, my staff and I, we meet all the time. How do we reach these kids now? It's different. And then the other thing is, like, when I was, 15 years ago, I got respect by playing ball with my guys. I can't play anymore. I'm older. If I play, I can't walk for a week, right?
Yeah.
So it's different and different how we relate to them. And so the challenges as a coach is, as you longer you do it and then the kids change, is how to relate to them and get them to understand and buy into it and how to coach better. Like, hey, our kids do that. Well, we got to coach better too. So we try to put it on ourselves to get to relate to these guys to be more competitive. I think kids are less competitive today for whatever, and I can't explain it yet, and we're trying to figure it out, but just naturally less competitive versus 10, 15 years ago.
I agree. I mean, even when, you mentioned that story about how Coach John Moore found you, right? You're playing pickup ball, right? You're out. You're playing ball wherever you can. I'm sure you got stories in the Bay Area even where you and your brothers would go out. You just run around town looking for a court and looking for a game, right? And I think that's gone. So isn't that lost?
17 years on the concrete. Hoop it up is outdoor on the concrete. Now I have two hip replacements because of playing on the concrete for so long after college. But I loved it.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't trade it. Best memories. Best memories.
I know you said you talked to your staff about trying to figure out these types of players, right? I mean, it's
how to relate. Get them, and that's the key. Different. Relationships are a key. Like we're tough on our kids, but we're also very close with our kids, and they know that. And not all the kids make it. We have really nice kids that don't finish. They don't make it.
Yeah.
But the ones who make it through, kind of running joke last year's team, we called them 13 strong. So we had a heck of a year, COVID year.
Yeah.
Going through it, staying together. We lost some kids along the way. And so our motto was 13 strong all year. And so we'll see if this year's, we got a tough one Tuesday night.
I know.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We're going to be doing that game on 1430 ESPN. Talking with Coach Tim Amundsen. Tim, I did want to ask you, too, about the playoff system, right? Do you agree with it? Do you like what they did as far as changing the criteria, different things like that? Or are you just like, hey, let that take care of itself. We just want to play ball. Tell us who we're playing next. Or do you have a big opinion or just like, yeah, whatever?
I think they try to do the best they can. Every year, I remember years ago, we used to meet in a room and guys were arguing and yelling at each other about seeds and home games are important. And it's funny because we were teetering on because we have six losses to North and Memorial who are both in the open. And four of those games were close. Two of them, they got away from us. But the six losses to open division teams out of our 10 losses, and we had some bad ones as well, I thought. But, again, we haven't had our whole team together the entire year. So I think it's really hard to navigate that when I think a lot of teams are missing their guys are out with COVID, sick, or we think they're sick, stay home. Like, guys with sore throat, I'm telling them to stay home. I don't want to get shut down this year. And we were down at least two starters probably 80% of the year. At different times, different guys. And so navigating that has just been weird. So when you look at Max Preps and the wins and losses, you don't know who's missing guys.
Yeah.
It's hard. So we just kind of said, let's just roll with it. It would have been D2. We're a D1 team.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's funny because we were teetering on that D2 up until about a week left in league. And we wanted to be in D1. The only nice thing that we knew would be on the road. But D2 would have been at home. You take whatever they put you and you go. It's a tough one because I don't know. Again, I want to wait and see how it all ends up. But how many lower seeds have beaten the top seeds?
I mentioned that in the opening.
Especially
I counted nine.
The D2 bracket was a big one. So I think we were the only one in the D1 to win on the road.
Yes.
But D2 had several upsets.
Well, obviously, Division I only has the 8 teams, and Open has the 4, but all the other ones had 16. So I counted. There's 9, boys and girls. There's 9, 12, 13, 14, or 15 seeds still alive. 9.
That's incredible.
Every bracket has like a 14 still in it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It is strange. But you're right. It is what it is. Just
So we kind of like was just watching. We were trying to get an idea who we might play or where we might be. So for scouting purposes,
sure.
That's why I went and watched Central a week ago. And
yeah,
I thought we might get them or East early. And so I went and got to make sure I saw them in person a couple more times. But, and even back when the CIF guys, they're doing the best they can. Someone's always going to be upset.
Yeah.
You can't be perfect and you can't see all the games. I liked when coaches had a little bit of say. I don't know how much, like, we used to send in who we think.
Yeah.
And most of the guys, I think, are honest and do a good job. Then you have some guys who just, hey, I'm number one and there should be number 8. But you know how that rolls. But the max prep system, I wish I knew the algorithm. I don't know how they come up with it. But you just go with it, right?
I know. I agree. You just go with it. Yeah, you're right. It's like
if you worry too much about that and not getting ready for the next game, you just go play. It's exciting. Like that Centennial game, our kids got to experience that. They'll never forget that the rest of their lives. It was a great game. I feel bad that someone had to lose that game. It was hard fought. They played really well when we played really well.
Yeah.
And memories forever.
Speaking of memories forever, we only got a couple of minutes here. Do you like not having the games at Selden Arena? Well, you guys won't have a home game, right, for the championship if you guys make it. So, I mean, what's your opinion on not having it at Selden and the high seeds? Obviously, it's a different animal, but playing at Selden is really
fun. When I first started coaching, a while back, it was always the home seed. I liked it. And then when they went to Selden, it was awesome. It was kind of a goal, get to Selden and play, because usually you get there, you're in, you're playing for a Valley Championship, the experience of an arena. And all the other sections have been doing it forever. And so I think the experience for kids was awesome. They did it right, man. You walk in, it's everything about it was first class. Like they did a great job every year. And hands off, hats off to them. But last year it kind of made me think when we went to Central, that atmosphere, and even though we were on the road, that atmosphere, man, you don't feel that atmosphere at Selden as much. Now, in saying that, when I was at East, our games there, I think we had 10,000 people in that arena.
Wow.
Against West both years and against Buchanan, and that was rocking. But the last couple of years, we didn't have as many, so it didn't feel like that. In Central the other day, last year, I thought it was awesome, the feel. So I kind of liked it, home seed.
Yeah, the Selden, I mean,
the
Selden stands
experience
are up, right?
The kids are never going to have a great experience for the kids. But the home court for Central last year and that crowd was raw. Remember, we weren't allowed fans. Well, that game, they let everybody in. I couldn't believe it. So I go, great for our kids, right?
Yeah.
In that experience. So it was rocking. And you never forget that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you have that same vibe at Selden, but the arena effect is good. And if our teams go far enough in state, you may be in another arena. It's a totally different feel than playing in a high school gym.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you get to state playoffs, you're playing at the Golden One Arena there in Sacramento.
And that's the goal.
That's the goal. All right, our time is up. Can you believe it?
That's quick.
I know, it's quick. The 20 minutes go by really quick with all my guests, especially, talking with Coach Tim Adamson, who's seen a lot of basketball over the years. And, we got great memories together. And your Bullard Knights are taking on Central. We're going to have that game for everybody on 1430 ESPN. I'm going to be on the call for that. So thanks for coming in, Tim. Pushing your practice back a little bit, so get after it.
You got it.
All right.
Thanks,
coming up after the break, a couple Buchanan girls soccer players are 1430 ESPN Students Athletes of the Week. Ciara Wilson and Logan Knighty. They are going to be coming on. We get to know them a little bit better here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, on this gorgeous Saturday. Just a beautiful day in the Central Valley. Fresno looks beautiful out there right now here at First String Sports on Sierra and Blackstone Avenue. Come on down here. There's a lot of people that have been coming in and out of the store. This is the hot place to be right now. Come get your Letterman's jacket if you haven't already. It's not too late for this season. You can get it for next year as well. A lot of people are buying baseball equipment. There's just a ton of stuff here down at First String Sports. So come on down. They've been very kind to me over the last few months here hosting the show. Great conversation with Tim Admonson. Again, we are going to be broadcasting their basketball game at Central on Tuesday. I believe the start time is 6 o'clock. So Tim's got some great stories. It was really fun to catch up with Coach Admonson. But we're going to pivot a little bit, talking girls soccer. I got a couple of good ones here from the Buchanan team. They are 16-2 and 2, 9-0-1 in the track. They are still rolling through the D1 Central Section playoffs. I have Ciara Wilson and Logan Knighty here. First of all, girls, welcome. You guys got your little, you got your Buchanan soccer gear on right now, mm-hmm. right? Your team gear. You guys sponsored by, you got Nike?
Yes. Yeah.
You guys are Nike. All right. First of all, you guys are having a phenomenal year. Last year, you guys were the Division II SoCal State champs. Like coming into this year, you guys are a senior heavy team, right?
Yes.
A lot of seniors on your team. Coming into this season, were you guys just like, hey, we're going to have a great year. Let's just roll. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. What were some of your goals during the year? Logan, I'll start with you.
Well, obviously last year we fell short in the Valley Championship, but then we turned around and won our state championship. So I think that this year we had a different mentality. We were like, you know what, we don't want to fall short this year. You know, we want to come on top. We want to make our senior year like worth it and memorable. So I think that we all just were hungry for.
Oh, you know, you lost. Was it to Clovis North? You
yes.
lost in the Valley Championship game. Playoffs. Did you guys have a lot of home games? You guys were number
one.
What was that feeling like, Logan, during the state championship run and when you guys won that game? I mean, what was the celebration like?
Oh my gosh. It was probably one of my favorite high school memories ever. We were so hyped. We're so excited. It brings a smile to my face thinking about it because, like, you know, coming from almost feeling like just a terrible defeat, and then like that moment right after the Valley Championship game, we were told that we had a run at playoffs. So everyone was like, you know what, we're gonna take this loss and turn it into something better and. Hopefully we can turn out on top this time, and we ended up doing it, and it was a great feeling.
Did you guys go – what was the game – it wasn't a night game, right? Was it an afternoon game?
Yes, an afternoon.
So that night, where'd you guys go celebrate? Did you go get some good food somewhere?
I think remember? We all just kind of celebrated in the moment, you know, like we all had our medals on after the game, took pictures, celebrated with family and friends. It was like a high. I think we also like – after the game, we all jumped in our pool. Uniforms and stuff. We had the plaque, and there's a picture of us all in the pool holding up our plaque, smiling, because it was a hot day last year. It was like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So but it was fun.
Oh, that's fun. All right, Ciara, I want to ask you. So you guys are 16-2-2. Is this season just playing out exactly as you thought it would so far?
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm a transfer from Central, so it's definitely like a different environment. I really love this team. All the girls are kind, and we all work hard for each other, and I think it's really important that we focus on ourselves and just working hard and not focusing on, you know, other teams, that we just know that we're always playing with all our heart, and that's the most important thing, because this is my senior year and I really want to know that, like, I put all of my work into it and just make it all worth it.
Well, you mentioned how, you know, the team, the camaraderie, and all the great things about being a high school player, because both of you are going to play at the next level. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, soccer gets a little more serious as you move along, doesn't it, right? So you started off, I'm sure you guys started off playing your little Saturday soccer stuff. Is that right? I have three daughters, so I remember those Saturday mornings waking up and parents getting, you know, after a hard week of work, getting up early and taking the kids to soccer games. So you guys have some good memories of growing up playing soccer on Saturday. What was that like?
Yeah, like, of course, like we've played together for a while outside of high school soccer. This is our first high school soccer season together. But we've played on club since like a long time ago. My second club team, we played on a team called Fresno Chaos together. And we've always been pretty successful, like, as a team and our club team. We have some amazing girls. A lot of us on our current soccer team, we're going to go play next level soccer. I think there's, like, 22 girls
over
on our
20.
Team. So Yeah, some great memories. We all love each other. We're all family.
Yeah, do you got some great memories growing up playing soccer too?
Yeah, just building a lot of friendships. Like even just knowing girls since I was like 10, like still being like best friends till now. It's a really big, important thing, especially now that we know we're, like, going off to college and, like, this is going to be our last, like, club season together. It's really sad, but just knowing that I was able to build those friendships just by playing a sport is, like, really important to me.
I want to talk a little bit about the balance between taking the game serious but yet having fun, right? High school, you guys have obviously created a lot of great memories, and I think, you know, like I said, once you get – the farther you get in life in a sport, the more serious it gets, right? How are you guys able to balance between having fun and the seriousness of the game? Like, between the lines, it's mm-hmm. serious time, right? Mm-hmm. But you guys also have fun, maybe during practice, different things like that. What's that balance like?
Well, our team definitely knows how to have fun, but we also know how to be serious. We do a lot of team dinners. We always ice bath after practice. Not all the time, but like when we need recovery, we always ice bath after practice. And during those times, like we're laughing, we're having fun, making videos, like taking pictures, all that kind of stuff. Like the bond that our team has is definitely, you know, like we know when to be serious, but we also know when we need to have fun, you know, and enjoy each other's presence.
Yeah, you guys have some road trips? Do you guys go down south for any tournaments, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have some. You have some. Ciara, you got some bonding stories. Like, are the best parts of those trips, you know, the van rides and different things like that.
It was definitely a good trip. We did like a lot of team bonding. We had some dinners. We celebrated like one of our twins on the team's birthday. It was really fun, just like having a good time as a team. We played like video games, board games, stuff like that. We were like up late, even though we weren't supposed to be, but. It was really fun, like, just being able to, like, be together as a team.
Did you say board games?
Yeah, board games.
All right, what's your go-to board games? What do you guys like to play? You guys got a go-to?
What board games did we play? We played, like, this, like, guessing game type of thing. It was, like, you have to write down, like, the first thing that comes to your mind, but it starts with, like, a certain letter, and that got really funny.
Okay.
Like, we were all making jokes.
I don't remember, like, the names of it. I think we kind of just made them up. But.
Yeah.
All right. What about, so you guys are 16-2-2, mm-hmm. right? You guys have one tie in league. Who
yes.
is your tie against in league?
Clovis North.
I think it's Clovis yeah. North. And that's, do you figure they're kind of your rival?
Yes, for sure. For sure.
How tough was the track this year?
You know, we had some good games. I
saw a lot of shutouts. I looked at some of your game scores. There were a lot of shutouts.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. The only team that scored on us in the track this year was Clovis North. So we have a phenomenal back line, amazing midfield. We had great keepers. Our keepers did phenomenal this year. And then, I mean, our forwards, we just put it away this year.
All right. I got to give you guys an opportunity to give shout-outs to some of your teammates. Mm-hmm. So who are some of your teammates that you're on the field with, and what are their names?
So forwards, obviously it's me, Logan, Daisy, and then we have our midfielders, Olivia, Riley, and Jessica, and then defenders, Catherine, Mar, Megan, Emma, and then our goalies, of course, Haley and Carly. They definitely worked really hard this season. I mean, if you watched the last North game, there was so many, like, saved our butt during that game. And I think it's definitely, like, a team sport, obviously. Even if we score, it also leads from a lot of people, like, doing defensive plays and winning the ball and, like, going attacking and stuff like that. So it's really a lot of us working hard.
And I know, like, you could kind of compare soccer to basketball in the sense that there are assists, right? I mean, you literally get credit for an assist. What do you guys enjoy more, Logan, just scoring a sweet goal or giving a nice pass to your teammate for a goal?
You know what? Both feel pretty awesome. You know,
there's no wrong answers here.
Yeah. honestly, I love scoring goals, but I mean, knowing that like you set someone up for a good goal, like that could win championships, you know, like winning a game off of an assist rather than like scoring is like the same feeling, you know, like knowing that you partook in like that like win overall is like it's like a great like team feeling because, you know, it's not just forwards who score goals, it's like it could come from a keeper, you know, like a drop kick, or it could come from like a defense, like making a good play. Like we've Sierra's assisted me before from the back line, you know, like it comes from all over the place. So it's a great feeling for both.
Do you prefer either way?
Yeah, I like either
scoring
way.
Or, yeah. Yeah. As long as you get the win.
That's all that matters.
As long as you get the goal. All right. So looking forward to your game against Aurora Grande on Tuesday at 3. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys game plan for them, or what are you expecting? What do you know about that other team? Do you know much?
We were supposed to play them early in the year, but unfortunately because COVID, it got shut down. But, you know, we kind of go into every game not really worrying about our opponent, like kind of just worrying about ourselves. You know, we play a certain way. We like a certain style of play, so we're not really too worried about them, but we're worried about ourselves and like how we play in our game plan.
Yeah, Sierra, you can agree with that. Like,
yeah,
you just play whoever's in front of you.
Yeah, we're pretty much just ready for that game.
Mm-hmm. Is there a little mental, you know, I guess intuitiveness that you guys have with each other and some of your teammates? You kind of know where your teammates are going to be in certain spots. What's that like on the field?
Yeah, we all have like from playing with each other, like we build these bonds. We have bonds with different people on the field. So like just kind of knowing, like as a forward, you know, like we're knowing where they're going to make the run or where they're going to be, like looking up, seeing where our players are in space or, on the field, knowing when, like which way our keeper's going to kick it or what move, if they're going to take it or they're going to pass it. Like, we kind of build those bonds on the field, knowing, like, you know, what's the next step in coming when we're going to play, or, like, what's the next play.
What's something that, let's just say, the common fan doesn't know about soccer? Just, like, the little details, right? So, you know, obviously, we focus a lot about the big sports, the football, basketball, mm-hmm. baseball, right? But what's something that maybe the common sports fan doesn't understand about, you know, the little details about soccer? I mean, we talk about how, well, there's hardly any scoring, right? You can watch a whole game with it 0-0, but there's a lot more to the game than that, right? I mean, just the tiny little details can make the difference between winning or losing.
I think that a lot of people underestimate like how exciting soccer is. I mean, for like club soccer, it's a 90-minute game, but for high school, it's like an 80-minute game, and it could be 1-0. It could be 0-0 after 80 minutes of playing, you know? Like, it can be so exciting, but there's so much that goes into it. When a small play happens, you don't know how big that play could mean later on in the game. Like, you can look back and be like, shoot, like, if I made that goal, maybe then we wouldn't be in overtime right now. You know, like, it's more exciting than people make it out to be, because a lot of people, like, they'll go watch a football game and every play is exciting, or they'll go watch a basketball game, it's back and forth the whole time. But you sit down, you watch a soccer game, and it might not be as fast playing or exciting because balls go out of bounds, you have to throw it in, corner kicks, like, people are tired. We run 4 or 5 miles a game, you know, like, it's exhausting, but like, there's so much work and so much heart that goes into it that makes it so exciting.
All right, excellent answer. Talk about how physical a soccer game can be. Maybe that's something that people don't know, how physical it really is, right? Is it true that the most concussions out of any sport is girls soccer? I heard that one time. I don't know if we should bring that up right now, but that's just to show how physical the game is, right?
Yeah, it definitely can depend on like who you're playing or how you feel about the game, but sometimes you can get like really intense where it's like back and forth fouls or back and forth like bodying, stuff like that. It's just a lot of like really just working hard and just trying to win that ball no matter like how the outcome is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree, that's a good answer. Logan, I know your grandfather was very special and instrumental in your life. I know KMPH26 did a nice segment on you. Talk about your grandfather and the relationship and what he meant to you in the game of soccer.
So my grandpa was always a great athlete growing up. I mean, he broke records at the high school he went to. He was just like an overall like just stud. And growing up, I would always make fun of him. Like, we'd always be back and forth with each other. I always told him, you know what? Like, I'm gonna beat you in this. Like, I'm gonna letter in more sports than you. I'm gonna show you. You know, like, I'm the better athlete. You know, we'd always be in each other's ear about that. But growing up, like, he's always just been an inspiration to me. Always been someone like I can look up to, and like. He would, I just remember this vivid memory, like, last year, like, right before our championship game, like, we were ice bathing, and I was just kind of, like, warming up after the ice bath, and he called me, and he was like, you know, I just saw this thing about how to shoot a ball, And it like referred to like golf, and he was like telling me like, you know what, like you should try this, like I know it can work. And the next like game, I'm pretty sure like it happened. And like he was just always so supportive of me, and like every game that he could make, he was there. You know, like he was my biggest fan, and like he always will hold like a special place in my heart.
Excellent, excellent. And he passed away from COVID. Mm-hmm. Am I right on that? So condolences on your family with your family on that. But I'm sure he's an inspiration to you. Mm-hmm. You guys are playing college soccer at the next level, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't you guys each say where you're going, and maybe Logan will start with you. Mm-hmm. Where you're going, and then why did you choose that school?
Well, I just recently committed to San Diego State, or I just signed with them, which is dream come true. It's been a dream since I chose soccer as my main sport. I chose that school because, I mean, I've loved San Diego growing up.
Yeah.
It's always been my favorite vacation place. So to be recognized by them was a blessing in itself. The coaches just really got my attention. They're amazing people. The team has been successful in the years past. They have a strong team, and I have a great group of girls who I've been in communication with coming in with me as well.
You can't go wrong with San Diego. Are you kidding me? Right? Did you go on any official visits there?
Not yet, but hopefully I'm going to have one coming up. That's what they keep saying, but you never know with everything going on.
I know, exactly. All right, Ciara Wilson, Fresno State. Am I right on that?
Yes.
All right, talk to me about that.
So basically I first was seen by Fresno State when I was like a freshman. So just knowing that it was a coach that has seen me for a long time, it was really showing his interest in me, really made me decide like where I wanted to go and who liked me the most. And definitely going to the games, like just the environment of the games was so like hype, and I like the way that they play, and I know the girls on the team, and everything just seemed so welcoming, like the way he recruited me and never really gave up on me. Honestly, during like COVID, it was like the worst time to get recruited, just because of they couldn't go to the games, and the certain time that they could recruit you was like in June, and that's exactly when like COVID happened and we couldn't play with each other. So it was definitely a struggle at first, but definitely when he was able to watch me play, I definitely knew that was where I wanted to go, just from watching them play and knowing certain girls that I played with, like Sam Tristan. Like I know she went to Clovis High, I know how she plays, and she's a really good player, and I know going to school with Cadence, she's also one of the players at Clovis West, and she's a goalie on our club team. So just knowing I can be able to play with two girls that I've known and played with for a couple of years is a great thing.
All right, we only got a couple minutes, but I love that. I love the sense that the Central Valley has as far as, like, you compete against girls at Clovis West, compete against girls at Clovis, but yet you've played with each other in different club teams, and you guys – right, obviously you're competing against each other on the field when you play against those schools, but afterwards you guys are cool with each other, right? You encourage each other, right? Isn't that a really special thing that you're going to take with you?
Yeah. Like on our club team, like we know every girl's going a different way. You know, we have a few girls committed to the same schools, but we have a group chat, and we're just like we're all best friends, you know, like at practice. Like the bond that we have, I hope it never gets broken, and I'm pretty sure it won't, with like how much laugh and fun we have with each other. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. And it's going to be fun to follow your careers later after high school as well. All right. Last question here. What are your favorite classes right now at Buchanan, and what do you want to study in college?
So my favorite class right now at Buchanan is probably my math class. I know it sounds kind of crazy that I love math, but it's definitely a challenge. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the greatest mathematician, but I have a great teacher in that class. And in college, I think I'm going to study kinesiology, but I want to eventually like get into orthodontistry and try to become like an orthodontist.
There you go. All right. I like it. Sarah, what about you?
So I'm just going to say government, just because I don't really take a lot of classes because I'm a senior and I have a lot of credits.
Yeah.
But in college, I definitely want to do kinesiology, like something in the medical field that involves like sports.
Yeah.
Just because obviously like I'm a soccer player, so it's like the easiest option like out of college.
All right. There you go. Excellent. Okay. Buchanan girls soccer. They are the number one seed in the Central Section playoffs. Going to be playing Aurora Grande at home at 3:00. You guys go check them out. Sarah Wilson, thank you very much. Logan Knighty, this was a lot of fun. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, you guys sound out of harmony, man. It's like you guys play soccer together or something. All right, that was great. All right, thank you, girls, for coming in. All right, coming up after the break, we got Scott Bemis from KC24, Channel 47, sportscaster coming in, talking about a lot of fun stuff. Really enjoyed talking with Scott. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, 1430 ESPN. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Looks like Meadors. I've been called lots of different things over the last few years. You could also follow at 1430 ESPN as well. You know, we got the big game tonight. Clovis West boys, San Joaquin Memorial boys, the place is going to be rocking. We're going to be having that, me and Jose Gonzalez. You can also listen to the Jose Gonzalez show on every day from 12 to 2 on 1430 ESPN. So we're going to be on that call tonight. Yeah, trying to update as many games as possible. Obviously, the St. Joe's and Clovis North boys are playing, and the girls, Clovis West, Napomo, and Bakersfield and St. Joe's as well. So, Scott Bemis, KC24, CBS 47 sports reporter, but also broadcast Fresno City football. Well ingrained in the Valley. I've really enjoyed running to Scott over the last few years. We've had some really good conversations. Well, like I said, well ingrained in the Central Valley. First of all, thanks for taking a Saturday. Is today, you got a day off today? Are you coming in on your day off?
I am off today, but you know, this isn't work, Paul. Coming in and getting to talk with my good buddy, Paul Metters. Look at us, right? I mean, we were on the sideline just talking about sports, and now we got headsets on and we're talking about sports.
I can't believe, what, they gave me my own show? What?
Well, I say the same thing all the time. They gave Paul a show?
What are they thinking? All right, yeah, so Scott, you do everything. Like, you mentioned this a little bit. You only have, what, 3.5 minutes sometimes to talk about all these different sports, right? I mean, can you, for the people out there, I know I'm going off script already, but I'm just very curious about that. You know, for me, I got 2 hours. I could talk about sports for 2 hours. When I have the podcast, I could make it as long as I want. But what is the difference between a sportscaster, we only got a few minutes of the news segment at a time, compared to a long form where we can really expand on things? How difficult is that, or how are you able to do that?
Well, I mean, the key is brevity. It is your friend when it comes to being a local sportscaster. You need to get right to it. I mean, you sometimes have, you know, 30 seconds to explain something as complicated as the new high school, you know, playoff plan, and it can get difficult sometimes. But you just train yourself after a while to just hit the key points. You can't get everything in there like a print writer might be able to, all the little details. You just have to get the big points usually out there. Now, there are times where you can go more in-depth on stuff. You know, you have a real interesting story, and they will give you time in a newscast to explore that. But most nights, you know, in a 3.5 minute sportscast like we would have on the weekends, or a 2.5 minute sportscast really on weekdays for us, you know, you have to fit 4 or 5 different stories usually into that. And so it's just, you know, hitting the key points and just kind of keeping it moving and, you know, try to make it as conversational as possible and you know, do the best you can just to kind of get the key points across.
Yeah. Speaking of the key points with basketball, obviously we're in the semifinals. You know, we got the big open division games as well. You know, there's a lot of, were they upsets? I don't know, but a lot of 14, 13, 12, 12 seeds are still in the semifinals. There's been big talk about the playoffs. You know, I know you hit on a lot of sports, and I know high school sports is one of the things that you do, but you know, do you have opinion either way about how the playoffs worked out? I know there were some differences in the format. You know, do you like that as a sportscaster? Do you like seeing these upsets? Do you want to see the best of the best? Or what's your opinions of that?
Well, my opinion on if it was up to me and I was the commissioner of high school sports and I didn't have to take anything else into consideration, like the fact that they're high school kids and they really just want an opportunity to play, right? And kids want an opportunity to play for a championship, and going on a championship run, even if you're a team that maybe didn't have a great regular season, is still something that years from now you can look back on your high school friends. But if I can eliminate all that and just look at it from a media guy,
yeah,
what's the most interesting, right? And what's the most compelling and fair to me? I would think that some kind of balance between just school size, enrollment, you know, size, and maybe competitive balance might be the way to go. You know, I think back to the movie Hoosiers and that story of that Indiana high school basketball team, a small school that won the state title. And the way that I understand the story, at least, is that every school was basically put into the same big tournament. So you had this small school from this small town in Indiana who eventually went on to beat this, you know, large city team in the championship. And that's why we still talk about that, you know, however long it is, 50 years later, 80 years later, whatever it is. And I think there's something special about that, about having, you know, a high school tournament where a small school has the opportunity to beat a bigger school. And so I think sometimes we get a little too focused on the competitive equity part of it. And I think it should be more based a little bit on the size of a school, you know? So if you are a, you know, have 3,000 kids, you know, at your school, you're a Division I school. Maybe you can find a way to kind of incorporate, you know, competitive equity a little into that. So you take both those things into consideration. You find maybe a middle ground, which I think is what they're kind of trying to do right now. So I definitely like the base divisions concept better than the original concept that they had. But I also think that there should be some kind of minimum standard. And maybe it doesn't have to be that high of a standard, but some sort of minimum standard to get into the playoffs. Even if it's just you have to maybe win at least a third of your league games or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's gonna happen. So obviously we had that, they had that quick vote, you know, like three weeks ago about how to change the format. But yeah, so I think next year, Scott, I think there's gonna be at least a 30% win percentage that you have to make the playoffs. So we saw that in football, right? There was a D5 school that went 0-8 in the league and then had a bye. Yeah. And then won two games, I think, or one game in the playoffs. So anyway, yeah, so hopefully we're done with that. But yeah, the competitive equity, you know, I do know this for sure. We're going to have really good open division teams, aren't we? That's the best of the best.
And I have an interesting idea, you know, and again, I mean, I haven't flushed it out. It's just me just talking out loud. But when it comes to open division in basketball, I like the open division concept. Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, take this year, for example, on the girls' side, you know, I would love to see Carruthers in the open division having a chance against, you know, I don't think they're going to beat Clovis West. I mean, I think Clovis West is, you know, a top 10 team in the state like they usually are, right? And so I don't think they're going to beat them, but I would like to see Carruthers in the open division maybe get a chance at another track team or a really good team from the Central Coast and see what they can do. But I don't think it should be where they go into the open division, play one game, lose, and their season is over, at least when it comes to the Central Section playoffs. I don't see why they couldn't do something where they have like an 8-team open division. You put the 8 teams in. If you win a game in the open division, then say you're Carruthers and you're in the 8-team bracket, well, you belong in the open division if you're able to win a game, right, in the open division. So then you play in the semis, and if you lose your semi, well, you still get an opportunity to say to play at Cellon Arena if they were going to play at Cellon Arena like they do most years, where you would play maybe in like an open division silver final or something like that. Yeah. You know, something where you're still playing for an opportunity to win something at the end. If you lose your first round game in the open division, well, then you slot back into what your normal division would be.
Got it.
So if you go into the open division, you win a game, to me, you belong in the open division then, and you keep playing in that tournament where if you win a game, you're also automatically guaranteed to get a great to the other. And I think there are some other sections who do something like this, you know, in the state. I mean, again, you got to a lot of things to consider with schedule and this and that. But, you know, but Carruthers is a great example, I think, of a team that has I haven't been, you know, to games necessarily this year, but I've heard about them. I've talked to a couple people, you know, familiar with the program. It sounds like they have a couple borderline D1 girls on that team. And, you know, it just they're going to probably roll through their bracket.
Yeah, they're in Division III right now. So if we went to the old Max Preps, I think they would have been maybe a 3 or 4 seed in Division I. I don't think they're going to be an open team like they were last year. And I think they were a little, I'll be honest, I think they were shell-shocked last year when they played Clovis, even though they had the home game. They're like, yeah, this is kind of a different level. Obviously, Carruthers was very good. They got a state title as well. But, yeah, they're the number one team in Division III. If the playoff format wasn't fixed, they'd be in Division I. So that would have been interesting to see. All right. Let's keep with the basketball theme here. We got a pretty good player that we were able to watch, and you know, for 3 years, Jalen Green. number two pick by the Houston Rockets, having a decent year, right? I mean, he just turned 20 like last month. I mean, it's hard to right yeah. to kind of quantify that. And you know, he's averaging close to 15 points a game, 14.6, shooting 38% from the field. You know, three rebounds, a little over two assists a game. Do you think? You know, again, he just turned 20, you know, playing for the Houston Rockets, and they're not a very good team, but he's in the dunk contest. So, you know, how are you seeing Jalen Green develop? Is this about where you thought he'd be in his NBA career? Obviously, he's globally known already, right? A kid that played at San Joaquin Memorial. First of all, I think that's really cool. But, you know, what are you seeing with Jalen Green?
Well, I mean, it's obvious that he has off-the-charts athleticism, and he is going to make splash plays every single game that you watch. If you tune in to watch a Rockets game with Jalen Green, you don't know what you're going to see. I mean, it's worth the price of admission to go in and watch it or to tune in just to see what kind of dunk is he going to throw down. What's he going to do? Having said that, I think in the times that I have watched, in full disclosure, I mean, it's mid-February, high school basketball, college basketball. Yeah. I haven't watched a ton of NBA right now. I will start getting into it more, you know, towards the end of the year. But I did kind of look at his numbers last night, went in and kind of looked how he compared to some of the other rookies around. And, you know, I think it's fair for Houston at this point to maybe say, maybe be a little disappointed at the development so far of Jalen Green. Now, I would say he's 20, right? Yeah. He just turned 20. So I'm not making any judgments yet on what the basketball player that Jalen Green can become. He is struggling. He is struggling from the field. You know, he's not shooting the three very well. And I think what I'd like to see out of Jalen, at least looking at his numbers, sure, the scoring, you know, is going to be something that I think is going to come around with time. I mean, he's just got so much offensive talent, and he is a good shooter of the basketball. We've both seen it. And he is a really hard worker from everything I've heard about him and everything that I've seen about him. And he's a really good kid.
He wants to be great.
In the times that I've talked to him. And he really cares about the Central Valley, which is awesome, and giving back. And we're all rooting for Jalen Green. But what I would like to see from him, maybe just looking at his numbers only, is, okay, the offensive game hasn't necessarily been there where it's at right now, right? I mean, he's still putting up some points. He has an occasional game where he just totally, you know, shows why he was the number two overall pick. But, you know, game in and game out, he's been struggling a little bit. Okay, do some other things on the floor to really, you know, make an impact, you know? And that's the one area where I think he could make the biggest jump, because I look at his numbers and he's averaging like three rebounds a game in 30 minutes. You know, he's a 6'6 guy with you know, unbelievable vertical leap and, you know, pretty long arms, I believe, as well. You know, he should be making a bigger impact, you know, rebounding and defensively as well. You know, his plus-minus ratio is not great, you know, at this point. And I think that will come around with time. And he's playing on not a good basketball team at this point, a team that could be good, you know, 3 to 5 years from now. I mean, they are just loaded with young talent on that team. So that would be my message at this point. Be patient, you know, with Jalen Green. But, you know, if you're Jalen Green, really focus on maybe, you know, trying to, you know, impact the game in other ways, you know, at this point. And then that way, you know, even if you have an off night offensively or you're struggling, you know, you can continue to develop as an all-around basketball player. And we see it, I think, with some of the college guys, you know, who spend a year at college. Now, I know Jalen had the year in the G League and everything else, you know, and Jalen, I think, is used to having this kind of spotlight on him. It's not something that's new to him. But, you know, a guy like Evan Mobley, you know, or even a guy like Franz Wagner, who's playing for the Magic, you know, who was a college guy last year for Michigan and is having an impact. You know, a second-round pick, Ayo Dosunmu, I saw last night out of Illinois. You know, he's a guy who's over the last month has been playing at, you know, an extremely high level, and he's doing a lot of things. You know, he's averaging over 8 assists a game. That's another area where Jalen, you know, is lacking a little bit right now. There's just not a lot of assists per game. So those other things, I think, are going to become more important for him to continue his development. But having said all that, I remember a young Kobe Bryant growing up in LA, growing up in Southern California as a Laker fan. And if you watched Kobe Bryant the first year as a Laker, you would have been like, what? He's going to turn into one of the greatest players in NBA history? I don't know about that. And so you got to be patient with these young kids.
Absolutely. All right. Talking with Scott Bemis. All right. When was the last time you golfed? I know you're a big golfer, right? Well, is that a long story? We're going to take up 5 minutes talking about
that. No. I'm not, because there's. I haven't golfed a lot. I might be getting out golfing on Monday. I do love to golf. I don't get to play golf nearly as much as I would like to, but there may be a tournament coming up you know, that I might be getting invited to play in. So I might have to try to, like, get the game emergency in shape, you know, here for, like, June. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Let's talk about Clovis East grad Bryson DeChambeau. He's kind of making the news. I think he's made the news ever since he made a splash, right? I mean, he's an eccentric dude. He makes a lot of noise whatever he does. So in your opinion, how's Bryson doing? And then talk about this Saudi-based league that he's thinking about joining, and you know, some of this Twitter talk that I'm seeing about Bryson.
You know, we're kind of lucky in a way that we have a guy like Bryson DeChambeau in our market, right? Because whether he's playing good or bad, he's always interesting, yeah. Right? And he's become, I mean, arguably, maybe the second most talked about golfer in the world, right? I mean, Tiger Woods, obviously, I think still is number one on that list, but can you think of another golfer who's talked about more than Bryson DeChambeau, you know? And so Bryson's always interesting. Love him or hate him, he's always interesting. And you know, us here in the Central Valley, you know, we've talked to people. I don't know Bryson personally. I've gotten to know the family a little bit, Jan and John, and they're just great, great people. Enjoy, you know, they've invited me into their home, you know, during the final round of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that was great.
And, you know, have always enjoyed being around them. And everything I've heard about Bryson, and, you know, Bryson's eccentric, but he's really, you know, grew up as a polite young man and you know, has his eccentricities or whatever that word is. But, but you know, at his base, Bryson, you know, is a good dude. Having said all that about Bryson, I never know what he's going to do with the sport of golf, right? Like, I didn't anticipate him, you know, turning into, you know, basically a bodybuilder on the golf course and becoming, the long driver that he is. And so I would not be surprised in the least if he ended up doing something big with this new tour that's being, bantied about. Now, the background on this is that there's something called the Golf Super League, which is being backed by the Saudi Arabian government, which is creating some controversy because obviously they have, you know, a checkered past with regards to, you know, how they handle some human rights things and their treatment of women and this and that. So it may not be something that, it may be a little bit of a PR backlash here as well for people involved in it, but they're trying to launch like a new golf tour. And basically they're trying to attract any of the big name golfers that they can. And they're just offering incredible amounts of money to try to get them to get involved in this thing. And it sounds like some golfers are listening. Phil Mickelson has been pretty vocal about, you know, trying to do it. And I think Phil might be using it more as a leverage play against the PGA Tour to try to get, you know, more concessions out of the PGA Tour with regards to, you know, players. But, you know, it's a tricky thing because, yes, there's an incredible amount of money that's being floated around. I mean, it's basically just going to – sounds like it's just going to be guaranteed money. They're almost going to be on salary or, you know – I mean, I saw a number like $130 million or something like that, you know, with regards to Bryson in a report. Now, he's come out and said that, you know, there's nothing to report at all that, you know – and if there's something going on with me, you'll hear from me directly, and all these reports are inaccurate. But I get the feeling that there's some, you know, where there's some smoke, there's some fire. And Bryson just seems like the guy who might go out on his own with something
this.
You know,
doesn't it surprise us?
Yeah, yeah. He goes out on his own with everything else he does. And so if he ended up doing this, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I think these golfers need to be a little careful with this because, I mean, you're a golf fan, but I wouldn't say that you're, you know, as much as I am, or I'm watching Champions Tour, you know, on the weekends and stuff like that. And so you don't even really know anything about this tour, right?
None.
At this point,
that's why I'm asking you. Yeah, when I saw it on Twitter, I'm like, this makes no sense. I need Scott to try to explain it.
And so I think that's what these players need to be careful about, is that the hardcore golf fan, which I consider me to be one of them, we watch anything golf. Like, right, and we will watch this, okay? We will watch this just because it's golf that's on television. But the mainstream fan, the fan who tunes in, you know, on Sunday at the Masters, who doesn't watch golf, you know, all year long otherwise, you know, or the fan who tunes in to watch the four majors all year long and then just kind of golf's kind of an afterthought for the rest of the year, I don't think they're going to be invested in this very much at all, you know? And you saw the Phoenix Open, and there were some articles written about how you had this incredible Phoenix Open environment, right, last weekend with the hole-in-ones and the beer showers and just an incredible scene. And then, like, a couple weeks ago, they played this tournament in Saudi Arabia where some big names played, like Dustin Johnson, Bryson, Phil played in it. And nobody even knew what was going on. Yeah. And so you might be in line not only for a PR hit from this, but I don't know. I don't know if the mainstream fan is going to care about this, and I think you kind of need that if you're going to successfully launch a new career, because we all know it's about TV money, right? Stuff
yeah,
like that.
100%. Yeah, you know, as a casual fan that I am, I'm like, no, I don't really care about it. I want to see Bryson on you know, on the homeland. I want to see him in all these tournaments and, you know, U.S. Open and all these things. And I know, Scott, we only got a couple minutes. Crazy. Time flies. It's better than the 3.5 minutes than you're allotted.
I love the radio format for that reason.
All right. So, yeah, last question here. We got a couple minutes. Derek Carr, Davante Adams, just rumors about maybe teaming up. Derek, you know, taking, you know, less of a salary. Are you hearing about things like that? Like, what are you hearing about Davante Adams and Derek Carr right now?
Well, I, full disclosure, I don't have any inside knowledge. Okay. Or I haven't heard anything about that necessarily. But considering the relationship that exists between these two guys, I wouldn't be surprised at some point if they tried to make something like that happen, you know, in the future. I mean, Derek and Davante obviously, you know, have that connection from their days at Fresno State. You know, we've seen them kind of have fun with each other, you know, like on Twitter a little bit. And also, you know, after games, the couple times that they've played each other, at least once, I know, since they got to the NFL. And there's obviously a mutual respect there. And I mean, I just get excited thinking about if they did somehow, if that was a possibility. I mean, I get excited for Raider fans here in the Central Valley and, you know, for fans of Derek Carr, and which we all are here in the Central Valley, such a good dude, you know, having a receiver like Davante Adams. You throw Davante Adams, you know, if it is with the Raiders, you know, and I don't know where Davante stands at this point. I mean, I think if Aaron Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay, I think Davante Adams would be crazy not to stay in Green Bay, right? Obviously, he deserves the type of money that a arguably – top two, maybe best receiver in the NFL deserves, right? You know, and so he's gonna get that in some way. You know, it sounds like if it's not from the Packers, from somebody else. But if Aaron Rodgers is coming back, and that's the $1 million question, like we don't know, why would you leave Green Bay if you're Davante Adams? Now, if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, and Davante now says, hey, you know, I don't want to be here with a young developing quarterback who has some talent, Jordan Love, but we don't know what he is, then. Yeah, I think he starts talking to his good buddy Derek Carr, and they try to figure something out.
Well, that would be fun. That would be a really fun reunion for us here in the Central Valley. All right, Scott, our time is up. We could talk about sports forever. Thank you for coming in on your Saturday. Get that golf game ramped up here. I want to see that.
Well, maybe you and I can get out there, huh?
Oh, God. My swing has gone downhill. I'll stick to baseball and basketball for that. All right, Scott Bemis, thank you very much for coming in. Always a pleasure to see you and talk with you, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate
it. Coming up after the break, we're going to be wrapping this up. Fun 2 hours here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Another banger of a show here. I love doing this gig. It's a lot of fun to talk sports, to talk high school sports, to shine a light on the Central section, the Central Valley here that we hold so near and dear to our heart. I had a great conversation with the Buchanan Girls Soccer, our 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week, Ciara Wilson, Logan Knighty. They were fantastic. They brought assistant coaches. The parents are here taking pictures. Oh, that was a lot of fun. I wanted to thank Gabe Camarillo. Back at home base for producing the show and jumping on, talking about high school playoffs. Want to thank Tim Admonson, Bullard Boys head coach. That was a lot of fun. I mean, that guy, talk about a basketball junkie. He knows anything and everything. I mean, off the air, we were talking about his brother, Tony, about how he was really, really close to making the Sacramento Kings, non-drafted, right? I mean, he impressed the Kings a lot, and so you know he could have made the Sacramento Kings. So Tim Admonson, great guy, great coach. His Bullard Knights are going to be taking on Central. Going to have on 1430 ESPN tonight. Also want to thank Scott Bemis who came in. Scott does a great job. He certainly knows golf. Talk about Bryson DeChambeau and what he might do next tonight. San Joaquin Memorial Boys, Clovis West Boys. Jose Gonzalez and I will be on the call.
6 o'clock. Before that will be the girls' game. We won't have that on the call, but we'll definitely be talking about that. And in closing, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything that you do, and leave it all on the court. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the Los Angeles Lakers, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.